In my opinion, Battleship sunk my career.
S.C.U.
You are now listening to Shattercast Uncut. Prepare to be shattered with your hosts, Matt Baldwin, Skullface, Greg for Mercy, Oscar NJ Boy, T2RX6, Mega 81. Welcome to Shattercast.
What's up, everybody? It's episode 40. We are 40. What did they say? Lordy, lordy, look who's 40. And for those who said it wouldn't last, and then I turned to Greg and give him a big old kiss. Aww. so we're 40, and we are getting a little complacent in our job. We got our eyes on retirement, and our neighbor just came back from West Liberia and sneezed on us. So we're a little concerned.
Ooh. Hola!
too soon.
A little bit of trivia for you. It's Ebolsa Spanish, or excuse me, in Espanol.
Espanol. We are a cultured group, I think.
Oscar will appreciate that.
I died today, Bobby. Even
success. Oscar's offended. No.
All right. So with us tonight is our good friend Mega 81, the news hound.
What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
Our respected reviewer, T2RX6, Mr. Fix-It.
What's going on, everybody?
Our internet troll, the man who is the man on Facebook, Greg for Mercy.
Already.
Unbelievable. And our Hasbro fanboy, Deluxe.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Oscar, of course, is absent again. He will be back shortly. Be back before you know it. And I'm your old pal, Uncle Skullface, trying to take care of you. Real quick, before we get started, we have shirts, hoodies, bumper stickers, and magnets available. You can contact us in any way, and we will get that out to you ASAP.
Buy our shit.
So, making our way around, did anybody get anything? Let's start with Mega 81.
Yes, sir. Well, I got the Generation Nightbeat and Jaxxas. Hmm. Yeah, pretty cool.
Cool. What about you, T2RX6?
Not that I can think of.
Word. Deluxe.
I got the Rewind and Eject from the TFC Collectors Club.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see pictures of those. Usually I see pictures of all your great conquests.
I put them in there. I got it with a zombie Magneto. My wife got him.
I did see that. How the fuck did I see that? Not the goddamn...
Well, they're below. They're on the right bottom of them. They're real small. My wife got me. She found that for me in a little comic store. And that was... that was it for this week.
Hey, Justin, add Greg back if you can.
No problem.
I'm back.
Okay, Greg, what'd you get this week?
Nothing, I don't think, since I was on the show last.
Yeah, most of us didn't get anything. I wanted to take time to say I officially passed on Hasbro leader Jeff Fire. I had him in the
okay.
I was holding him in my hands. There was a strong part of me that wanted to pick him up. The reason why my Toys R Us still had him because the box was fucked up, like super fucked up, like mangled, but the figure looked fine inside. And I just couldn't do it. $50, and if he would have came out in February, I'd have picked him up. But the fucking game has just been kicking my ass so bad recently between Tigress and fucking Talon and Salmore and fucking Wheeljack and, you know, like this one and that one, that I'm not in any shape to blow $50 at the moment.
Hey Bob.
Yo.
Bob. Yo. You know at Toys R Us you can get like 15% off for a fucked up box. And there was a 20% coupon that I could have given you. So you could have got them for like $30.
But, yeah, that's none of my business.
That's none of my business.
No, I was holding him out. You know, I was putting my finger through the hole in the box and touching him, and I was just like, you know, I just don't know.
That's pretty fucked up there, Mr.
It was fucked up. Hey, I just don't even know it was worth all the hassle.
How many Tetra discs did you buy?
Man, I bought all. I love my Tetra Jets, dude. I love them. I have them in Tetra Jet mode, and every time I walk past them.
Yeah, these are the toys you don't transform, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You don't ever touch them. Yeah,
nope.
Okay.
Nope, never touch them. Nope, absolutely.
You display,
not.
You don't play with them?
No. When it comes to these, you goddamn right. So, Without any further ado, I want to say that we have a special guest with us tonight. We're going to get into that bit in a minute. We got to make you wait. He is the guy. His name is Rick, and he is running the Play With This Too. And I got to tell you, I was kind of meh on the whole kind of subject, but within 20 minutes of talking to the guy, not only am I a fan of the product, I'm also a personal fan of his, I think.
I agree.
He was a pretty awesome dude, and it's a pretty fucking good interview, so just wait for that. But we got some big news, like in the ninth inning tonight, that we're going to get into also. But Cartoon Network will air the new Transformers R.I.D. series. So
yes.
We're
not on the
hub. Yes.
And they also released the trailer this week, and I watched it, and I was unimpressed.
I liked it. I'm kind of excited for it.
I bet you did. You know,
I really am. I'm kind of excited for it. Okay. New Transformers, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean,
Hell Hasbro.
Yeah. Well, Hell Transformers. I mean, it's just like animated, you know? It's just like animated. It's different. And
yeah.
I enjoyed Prime, and this is a continuation of Prime, and I enjoyed animated to an extent.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I mean, I'm not going to pass judgment until
I watch it
and it sucks.
I'm going to watch it. I'm just talking about the trailer. I'm not talking about the show. I'm just talking about the trailer.
Oh, the trailer. Well, yeah.
Do y'all think that Prime's going to make a comeback in this, or y'all just think Bumblebee's going to be the leader throughout the whole thing?
How long have you been in the Transformers?
Just ask.
It is.
I know he will, but I mean, you know, when? You know,
it is kind of interesting to see him in the Obi-Wan Kenobi mode, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What did I say? Truck, not Jaga?
Dagobah yeah. system.
Truck, not Jaga.
Holy shit. Transformers is on TV, too.
B, use the Force.
Yeah. There you will find Yoda. The
Alpha Triumph.
That would have worked. The one thing I could have used was some Decepticons, like aside from that big giant dog thing. I'm kind of not.
Didn't they say Bludgeon is going to be the villain of this?
Did they, or did we just?
I believe so. I think I remember. Yeah. That was like one of the first things that came out.
That'd be pretty cool.
They talked about a new series. This was a while ago. This was back in the you know what days.
I think Susan Blue is part of this. So
I think she's the white female fan.
Strong arm.
She looked like Wheeljack or something.
I don't see in color. So
yeah, strong arm or something like that.
She's just a robot to me. I don't look at her and say she's a white robot.
Yeah,
she looked like Wheeljack. She transformed into like a trailblazer.
Trailblaker. Couldn't even keep the word black out of that. You want to say trail black?
Good night, folks. I'm out.
Good night, folks.
Look at you with the sick dick. No.
Hey, this is an interesting show also because this is one of the few shows where the Hasbro news is going to be more interesting than the third party news.
Yay!
But we're gonna get there. Sancho Barbosa. So the first color test shots of Giga Power Snarl are in, and
I will use the exact quote I saw when I first saw this, which is his face makes him look like he's missing a chromosome. That's all I'm saying. That's not right.
There's something off.
And I want to say somebody else is missing a chromosome also, but I can't say his name.
The prototype was more impressive to me.
Yep. And now you can clearly see where things like the head and stuff go. It's like, not for me.
Yeah. And now I feel a lot better about getting that Fans Toys tattoo across my back.
Exactly.
Oh, that sore. Ooh, sexy.
What? Yeah. Why does he have a targeting reticle on his fucking chest?
So Decepticons know where to shoot.
Well, that's about G1 toy, so...
Does he have that, really?
Yeah.
The G1 toy had a target on his chest?
You know what? I'm going to go check this. It's right
really?
In the cabinet.
Yeah, I have to look at mine. I'm like, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either, but maybe. Let me look it up, too. Google race.
I'm not Google race. Grabbing the toy. Yes, he does.
Huh. Well, I'll be a son of a bitch.
Well, actually, that's why they pay you big bucks, Antoine.
Actually, it's pretty accurate.
$2.
But yeah. So there's Gigapower Snarl, and he's probably going to be around $200. So congratulations to everybody who bought that unit and feels like they came in third place in a contest.
I don't think it looks that bad.
No, yeah. It doesn't. I'm just having a go. But goddamn, like it's just, you know, they're going against a big boy, and it's a big investment. You know,
they're only a big boy because they put out 1.5 good toys.
No, they put out two.
Quake Wave, which great. Was solid, and then about half of the fucking Scorias were good.
It seems that whatever. Way.
So I don't know. Don't count them out just because they have derpy faces. It's not like an upgrade that's never come out before. Fucking Uranus had a derpy fucking face, and motherfuckers are tripping true. Over each other to try to fix that.
That's true. So. That's true. But yeah, it's not. It's just kind of fun to shit on things, and like I don't think this is like a piece of piss or anything. But
you're
I just think
lowering our credibility with every fucking word you say. I think we should move on to the next topic there.
It is fun. It is it's okay when you get something and you're like, oh, yeah, it's great. And the next person's like, yeah, it's great too. But when you get something that's like shit and then you can have fun making fun of it, like that's more of a good. But it's not that bad. It's not mecha form. You know what I mean? It's just that I can't imagine going this route. Personally.
I agree. It's not that this is bad. It's just that I feel like, you know, the Fans Toys one is better. And from, you know, I don't know if anybody else read the write-up that TF Source did on, you know, Soar. Well, I was going to just say Swoop. But, it's like seems like they learned a lot, and even with just the prototype, like things that didn't work so well for Scoria are fixed this time around, you know?
Yeah.
So, hopefully.
I do like the, I'm not a big Chrome freak. Like I can take or leave it. It doesn't bother me, but it doesn't like turn me on either. But I kind of like the way they worked the yellow on this Gigapower one. Like just to be objective about it. Like I like the way they did the fins and the tail, and I think that looks solid.
Sharp.
Yeah, I like the fact that they even gave the matte colored wings. Like I actually think they look really good on the toy. You know, like the chrome accent of the gold is more than enough for me on that toy.
I agree. All right.
So if Fan Toys wouldn't put anything out, would y'all get this? Would y'all be satisfied with this?
That's a good question.
If Fan Toys didn't, yeah, probably. I can't see not getting this just because, you know, I want that masterpiece set of Dinobots. But, you know, yeah, as it stands, it's been done better. So.
Right. Okay.
Well, what do you guys think about G-Creation Snarl?
It looks like he's taking a shit.
It's definitely like a little bit more stylized, you know, than the other, you know, like than the Fans Toys or the.
Does he look beefier than that?
Yeah, it is beefier a little bit.
A little bit beefier, but also like the horns on his head and everything are a little bit more stylized, and like he's got smaller hands.
See
the guy that Austin Powers, the guy that Austin Powers was talking about, small hands.
What do you think about the ball joints for the scales? For the fins.
Oh yeah, that is pretty cool.
Maybe move around. I don't know, but those small ball joints, they might, you know, be delicate.
Yeah,
delicate.
I mean, like, they can't.
I think I like the other one better.
Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of the side chest thing going on this one.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe.
Me too.
Yeah, maybe in color it'll look better or something, but. I don't know. This looks a lot like the Fans Project one, just less unique, I guess. I don't know.
I do like the head. I do like the stylized head, like the horns, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Shout out
to Yule, who is like getting all of them. He's getting all of them.
Damn. I'm thinking maybe one of them should have started with the Grimlock.
You're making big bucks over there. It must be. Nice.
Yeah, well, nobody getting the idea because I already hit him up for $20. So I got yeah, I guess everybody's scared to touch Grimlock because of the masterpiece. They kind of want to see how they work out. And that's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah,
I like the other one better. I think I like the other one better, but I'm still going
to be. Are you thinking of Tikar looking at a new one?
No, the Hasbro one.
No,
the
Hasbro one.
Yeah.
I think that the reason that people aren't touching Grimlock is because since the masterpiece actually exists, people are a bit worried that the market won't be there for it right now.
Right.
So that's why.
And
you know,
it just got reissued.
Yeah, that too. So you've got a smaller market until these other Dinobots finish up. So
yeah. Okay.
And then our least exciting of our least exciting third party news ever is Master Shooters Collectibles Target Masters.
For Nightbeat.
For Nightbeat.
That's what you say. I love Masters. Masters,
yeah,
Headmasters, whatever.
I got three of them.
Yeah, I actually think I'm in on the Nightbeat one just because Nightbeat. Like, I don't want a whole bunch of them, but I really hate that stupid weapon that the Bumblebee mold comes with. So
yeah, I do too.
You know,
yeah.
I'm okay with this particular thing.
And, yeah, the one that matches his color, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I just, the only thing is, I just don't need this to be, you know, $40. You know, like, I need it to be like 15 or 20 at most, at the very most. So, but
yeah,
I don't have any Master Collectible stuff, so I don't know what their usual price point range tends to be.
What did those Fans Project ones run when they came out? The Blesser and all that shit.
15, I believe.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, it sucks because Nightbeat was a Headmaster, not a Targetmaster, but, you know.
Yeah, he's probably about 20. Turning him into a Master, you know, at some form, so.
Man.
And these are TRCon exclusive. Oh.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, I'm buying that shit then. All I'm buying is TFCon's exclusives. And maybe Sor, just depends. When TF Source gets them in and if I can pick it up.
Yeah, I'll say these being about $20, probably. Good take. Good return.
Is there any paint on these whatsoever?
Looks like the faces.
That's
just single color. I don't know. I don't know, but this doesn't do it for me personally. But I'm glad you guys are happy. But I'm sorry.
So disappointed.
Here's the thing. Greg and I.
Man, it's a perfect size. It's got the right amount of complexity.
God, Bobby, quit being so damn picky.
Bobby wants this shit to have 45 colors on it. It's all right, but the fucking Masterpiece stickers having three. But fucking Target Master comes out and needs to be a rainbow.
Look, Greg and I have similar sensibilities when it comes to a lot of our choices in the Transformers game. So whenever we don't see eye to eye, he really takes that shit
gay.
To heart.
I heard it. Jesus. I heard it.
Before we get into this Hasbro news that's really good, we're going to take a minute and ease from third-party into Hasbro. A lot like our good friend Rick has eased from Hasbro into kind of a third-party. So without any further ado, let's get into this interview. What's up, everybody? To continue our trend of interviews while our good friend Oscar is away, tonight we have Mr. Rick from Play With This 2, who's been making quite a bit of noise on the different interwebs for his new company and their products that may look familiar, may not look familiar, depending on your point of view and what you are familiar with. So, Rick, go ahead and say what's up to everybody.
Hello, world of the interweb.
I want to thank you for coming out, and the guy just tapped somebody out in jiu-jitsu, so we've got him high off an adrenaline rush, and I'm hoping to get to the bottom of some of these concerns and questions that the community has.
Concerns and questions, interesting way to phrase things.
I got to tell you, in terms of thinking outside the box, let's say, you are definitely in a safe place.
Hey, just to interject here, on Shirecast, we kind of like to play this game once in a while called What's Behind Whatever We're Looking At. What's behind you? What do you got going on behind you there?
Let's see. I've got my Queen Amidala ship from Episode 1 hanging up behind me.
Nice.
I've got something I can't show you behind me also, which I should get rid of. A big giant Lego display that I shouldn't have because I'm not a Lego employee or a employee of Toys R Us or wherever that might have come from. And some G.I. Joe stuff hanging up in the background. It's kind of a mess. My collection room used to be really nice and organized and have all these glass cases, and then I had to make room for
my office, so everything got packed up.
Nice.
The front of my desk is far more interesting.
Damn it, Justin, you always ask the wrong questions.
I know, what can you do?
From now on.
So what's going on at the front?
Yes, I've got my samurai sword, which was... The interesting story about the samurai sword is every good designer has a samurai sword. And this is true of all the designers at Hasbro who are of a certain caliber. Mm. So I was meeting with my friend, Aaron Archer. We've been friends for over 10 years, telling him I'm starting this new thing. And he said, hang on a second. And he went down to his basement and he pulled out this sword and he said, it's time you put this on your desk. And that's how I knew I had become a Jedi Knight. I was no longer the Padawan. I was now the Jedi.
Nice.
So that is actually interesting. I'm going to add a little note here to our questions. So let's go ahead and get this underway. Real quick, just to give a little background to all of our listeners, and you're probably getting tired of repeating yourself to everybody over and over and over again, but go ahead and give the listeners some background on your connection to Hasbro and kind of the background of you and some of the other major designers that are starting this project with you.
All right. So my story, I'll give you the abbreviated version, the part where it kind of starts at Hasbro. So back in the day when Brian Savage first got the license to do the Transformers Collectors Club, he didn't know anything about Transformers. So Hasbro said, we know a couple guys that we can put you in touch with and they can help you. They can tell you about figures and stories and what type of things the fans like. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had already been friends with Aaron Archer for a couple years. And I was one of those guys that got suggested along with the Hartmans and Ben Yee and Pete Sinclair. And I worked with Brian for 5 years, putting together all the BotCon convention stuff and all the club exclusives and the comics and the story. And that eventually led to me helping Hasbro, consulting in some position on and off for a little bit until the time came where I got called up to the big leagues by Aaron. I was going through the middle of a career change and I was at my wit's end. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go into nursing school. Screw this. And I was 2 weeks away from starting nursing school. And Aaron said, you're going to nursing school? No, you're not. You're starting here next week. Okay. So what's interesting about that is that for the last 5 years where I worked with Brian Savage, I had interviewed with everyone at Hasbro to try and get a position. I had interviewed with Greg Lombardo, Michelle Fields, Bob Lavoie, licensing, PR, marketing, everything I can try and get into. And I never wanted to bother Aaron and say, hey, what do you guys have in design? And I got there and he's like, yeah, you never asked me for a job. I was like, that's all I had to do was just ask you. So because I had such a passion for Transformers and other Hasbro brands, and I had such a vast collection that they could tap into, and I had so much knowledge of it, and I was able to put together pretty cohesive stories and toy ideas for Brian, that all kind of led to me getting hired as the creative manager for the Transformers and G.I. Joe brand.
Nice. So, like all true things, one day it withered on the vine. So when did you guys part ways? When did you and Hasbro part ways and why?
So Hasbro had started letting a lot of their employees go.
Mm-hmm. Why was that, do you think?
Probably something I shouldn't answer. I mean, I definitely have my opinions on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have been privy to some insider information, having been there. Sure. I will say this. In my opinion, Battleship sunk my career.
Huh. Wow.
I will say that was a tremendous investment by Hasbro. That and the Hub.
That was
the awesome Hub, side statement. Note, that used to be a channel, by the
right.
way.
Right.
Not anymore.
Yeah. We kind of thought when it got announced, oh, that's going to be like Adult Swim. That's going to be great. And they didn't want anything to do with us, with the guys who actually wanted to contribute to it. That's another story. So there was people, hundreds of people were getting let go, designers, people in marketing, licensing, all getting let go. I had gone to BotCon in 2012, mm-hmm. and I got back 2 days later. I got back from BotCon that Tuesday after BotCon. They're like, yeah, kind of needed to hang on to you until BotCon. So wow. it's your last day.
Wow.
So everyone in my department got let go. My whole department got cut. It doesn't exist anymore. We were the front line for IP and design. So basically, we would come up with all the stories. We would put together.
Antoine's often being chased by the law.
Did I say something?
I didn't do it.
Oh. Antoine, mute your mic. go ahead, continue. We're sorry.
All right. So
we're known for our professionalism around here, in case you haven't noticed.
Okay. So, what were we talking about?
Creative.
All right. So people say, "Well, what's a creative manager do?" Okay. So my department, we were a team called HasLab, and in the laboratory, it was all creative managers. And what we were responsible with was with coming up with the story Bibles, the story pitches, the initial concept artwork that would then be handed off to directors, producers, comic book guys, video game guys. And they would take what we had assembled and explore that and delve into that and create those. They created that War for Cybertron game. I work with Jagex. I put together a huge binder of hundreds and hundreds of pages and of characters and weapons and ideas and MacGuffins that they could use. The same for NetDragon in China. Aaron and I had put together the story pitch for what became Dark of the Moon and Age of Extinction. So he would present these to Michael Bay, and he would look at the art that we created. And Ken Christensen, who is also joining us on this, he was a guy who we had paid a lot to create a lot of that initial concept art. Ken was the guy who first developed Grimlock before there ever was an art studio at Paramount. He did Grimlock, and it came out pretty close to what was on screen. And he was also the guy who we used to create the first couple of story pitch images and character images for what eventually became Transformers Prime.
Huh.
And then we also had our hand in design. So I would walk over to the designers. I would say, hey, what are you guys doing? We talk about line plans. I would throw my suggestions out for what characters I'd like to see. I'd throw out suggestions saying, hey, it looks like these companies, these indie companies, are making a guy that looks a lot like this. Maybe we should make one too. And that's how we got Hoist and Trailbreaker out. So I had my hand in designs too.
Gotcha. So I have to ask this question first before we delve into the next group. Now that we've got a little bit of background information. So what are your thoughts, just personally, not speaking for Play With This 2, not speaking for your previous employment or whatever, but what are your thoughts on the third-party game?
Well, there's definitely an area of the toy industry in general is splitting in two. And I would say the system is broken, where your brick and mortar stores, your big chain retailers, they kind of tell the manufacturer, the developers, we need figures in this price point and we want this many of them. And that has a huge trickle effect on design, number of parts, paint applications, packaging size. And that puts a lot of strain on ultimately your designer and your painter and everyone to put together a final toy for you. Everything is starting to skew kid-centric. And you have these other companies like General Giant, Sideshow, these indie companies that are starting to develop product that are high-end, because you have two types of collectors now. You have the kids who shop at those brick-and-mortar stores, and then you have the semi-responsible adult who have disposable income, who can go out and drop $60, $70, $200, $500 on a single toy. But that toy is, it's just not a toy. It's a piece of art. It's something you would put on your mantelpiece in a display case, something that becomes a talking point when people come into your home. There is a drastic disconnect for these manufacturers, these big manufacturers, Hasbro, Mattel, as examples, that they're just not capitalizing on. And from my experience at Hasbro, I've seen them let companies like Sideshow take the lead in developing these very, very accurate 12-inch G.I. Joe figures, and these and General Giant developing these retro Star Wars figures based off the Kenner toys. In my mind, that's something that Hasbro should be doing. But ultimately, they see it as, we'll get royalties, and we don't have to pay anyone to do that for us. We'll just sit back and collect money. And I personally, I think that kind of hurts your company's reputation, that you rather let someone else do it than you do it. It's like letting someone else, it would be like letting Sideshow or General Giant or any other company make deluxe Transformers. That's kind of what you're known for.
Right.
Why would you let anyone else do that? You should do that, and you should do it to the best of your ability. And there is a place where you can do, you do your regular version, that's $14 for your brick and mortar store. And you can take that same toy and you can do a high end version, and you can offer it through different means, through private retailers or your website or Diamond Entertainment Earth.
You are preaching to the choir here. We sing this song. It's like we have a Google Drive.
We kind of read
our notes from, and we're actually writing, like, one of the statements in our notes right now is, man, fuck, this guy is reading my mind.
I'm sitting here trying to throw out new questions, and every time I come up with a question, you just answered it. about, like, Hasbro managing, how they manage costs versus, are they managing the costs, or are they using it as an excuse? And, the same thing, like pretty much everything you just said, I've got a new question to ask it.
Here, I see it like this. It's the places like these big brick and mortar stores, they kind of have these companies by the balls. And they really tell them, look, we need this amount of product on this date. The packaging has to fit within this square inch. It has to be fit for this space, because we have other figures planned out and we have other things we're going to sell around it, and it's got to sell for this much, and this is how much we're going to pay for it. And Hasbro or these other big toy companies, whether it's toys or not, could be anything, towels, shirts, whatever, they kind of have to go okay, because they don't really have another means of distributing their product on that level,
right?
So that really, that in turn goes, well, we have to sell them for this much to the retailer. The retailer's going to sell them for that much. That means we have to take this project and make it for XYZ dollars, and we can't go over XYZ dollars. And with the cost of plastic and paints and oils and shipping and labor all going up, that means your toys are going to get smaller, your packaging is going to get smaller, you're going to lose all your paint, the number of parts involved, which means your intricacy of transformation or playability, that's going to diminish.
Right.
And it's all because those brick and mortar stores want to pay a certain amount of money and have it fit within a certain square footage. It's not like the old days where you'd have your big toy, like a Rodimus Prime, which is like a Voyager. And then you'd have like your deluxe hot rod. And then you have a bunch of stuff on the pegs, and they were all part of the same line. Now, it's kind of looked at as, all right, if it's on the peg, it belongs to that line. If it's in a box this shape, it's the Angry Birds. If it's in a box this shape, it's the Titan figures. If it's in a box this shape, it's the Hero Smashers. There's... That also goes to a bigger point where the brands in general now are becoming so fractured, where when we were growing up, it was just Transformers. Now it's Transformers Angry Birds. It's Transformers Hero Smashers. Titans, Battlers, Activators, Robots in Disguise, Plush, Dino Riders. And I'm looking around and going, okay, well, you have all these other toys now, which some of them are interesting, but then you have all these other figures that don't transform. But your line is called Transformers. So what does that say about your brand? And what message are you imparting on the younger generation 10, 15, 20 years from now when they're in our seats and they think back fondly on what Transformers are? Are they going to think of a car that turns into a robot? Or are they going to think of a 12-inch Titan figure that whose arms move up and down?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. We are in total agreement.
I love you.
I know. It's funny because we're getting ready to dive a little bit deeper into this train of thought, and I'm like, you have been pretty straightforward with us so far, and I'm going to return the favor and be as straightforward with you as possible. We know that Trent Troop is involved in this in some capacity, correct?
Yeah. We've listed him on our website.
Right. Now, he had the B-Mog recently. Mm-hmm. And while I know that Trent is a respected person in the community, I don't know him at all. You know, I wish him the best. I don't wish him any ill will, obviously. But the B-Mog thing was something that I had no connection to whatsoever. You know, and it seemed as though when he was making the promotional rounds for that, he was making it very clear that a big motivator for that was to be as far from the IP as possible while still able to kind of exist within the world. And these designs that we've seen recently are definitely, we would all say, original designs. But they do perhaps invoke memories of certain characters. So I guess our question in that regard is, what are your thoughts on intellectual property? Now, obviously, you know, we know that the angle here for play with this too is that you guys are creating your own universe and your own line of toys. So without any connection necessarily to that, we just have seen a shift from, you know, we are going to purposely stay as far away from intellectual property as possible to something that doesn't seem as extreme.
Well, I think you're kind of talking about two different things. So Trent Troop did B-Mogs, and that was his own pet project. And when he was doing his Kickstarter, he came to me, asked me for advice. I was happy to help him, and I set him up with the manufacturer over in China. And I've known Trent for a long time. And I think Trent is personally trying to help me now, because I've been so good to him, and I helped him with his Kickstarter. And then I also hired him to do work for me while I was at Hasbro, and we worked together for the Transformers and G.I. Joe Collector Clubs over the years. And we have a very good rapport. We're good friends. So I think B-Mogs is his own project, and whatever Trent says about that, he owns that. So he has complete say over what B-Mogs is and where it fits into the world. As far as what we're doing, Trent is a story consultant, and he's helping out with a couple of designs. And I'm kind of leading the charge for right now. There's going to be more people announced later on, but in the public's view, I'm kind of leading the charge. Mm-hmm. So if our designs remind you of things that come before, I think you can make an argument that everything nowadays reminds you of something that came before. There are no original ideas anymore, and original ideas are very rare and so precious that they just kind of fall between your fingers like grains of sand into nothing.
I got
you. So I think everything harkens back to something.
I got you. We have a question from one of our listeners, which kind of plays into this. And he wanted you to know that he loves the name Skullfucker. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. and we're going to get back to that in just a second. But he wants to know that being as though you and these other individuals were affiliated with Hasbro, do you guys feel that perhaps you are being looked at with more scrutiny or being followed more closely by Hasbro?
No, not at all. I don't think Hasbro cares about any of this stuff. And look, I think if anyone at Hasbro is looking at it, they're probably saying, hey, that's Rick. He's doing his own thing. He's got these other guys. I wish them the best. I hope they're successful. They're good people. They know where the line is and not to cross certain lines. And I worked at Hasbro, so I've seen where that line is and what you can and can't do and how to tiptoe around certain issues.
Sure.
But I would never do anything that's going to blatantly disrespect Hasbro, because at the end of the day, they make Transformers. And I still love Transformers.
Yep.
I have Transformer tattoos. I have Transformers everywhere in my house. I have Transformers art. I've got piles and piles of plastic.
Right.
Plastic, right. Crack.
But I don't think Hasbro is looking at us and any differently than they do any indie toy company.
Gotcha.
No.
Also, he wanted to know who came up with the name for Skullfucker, or however you're supposed to say it.
I wonder why he would want to know who came up with that name. Like, what? How does that help a person to know who came up with the name?
I don't know. I got the impression that he was a big fan of the name and just wanted to know who to praise.
Okay, so here's the thing with the headshots. So the headshots, they work with most 6-inch action figures that have that ball joint. Uh-huh. So we're letting all our designers and our contributors design a set of headshots, and there's no rules. You can design whatever you want. It could be a chair with a smiley face. It could be a self-portrait. It could be your mom wearing a hat. I don't care what it is. As long as it's from you and it's something special to you and you're kind of off the chain and you can do whatever you want for the first time in your life, you can design something that will be made into a product that's completely yours. Mm-hmm. And when I got Steve Redinger, who another former Hasbro guy, Steve is a guy who's been there for years and had worked on Jurassic Park and Star Wars, Transformers, G.I. Joe's, every boy action line there, basically. He didn't include a set of names and was coming up right on RetroCon. And I'm like, all right, well, these guys just need names. So I kind of wrote down some names and I sent them to Steve. I'm like, do these work for you? Are you okay with these names? He said yes. So I'm responsible. I came up with the name. The name Madwing comes from my daughter, Madeline Wing, who I said, she's part Chinese, so her middle name's Wing. So if she ever becomes a fighter pilot, I always said she's going to be called Madwing. That'll be her call sign, like Maverick or Goose. Madwing. Sure. So that's where Madwing comes from. And then the other one, it just looked like a bull. Like, oh, that's terrible.
Right.
That's exactly where it was a bad pun, just like horrible.
No worries. Now, so
with the second set of headshots, those were all names from the designer, Ken Christensen.
Okay, cool. A question that a lot of people had, including ourselves, was, will there be any fiction to accompany these ideas, and how do you, if there is, and what medium?
Yes, there will definitely be fiction, and at TFCon, we're going to announce who is writing that fiction, right. And I think that'll get a lot more eyes on us when I announce who it is.
Gotcha.
As far as how that's going to appear, there's a lot of us in the group who think we should be doing this and we should be doing this, but it all comes down to financials.
Sure.
And as of right now, the only thing that's guaranteed 100% are the bio cards that talk about these characters. And that's the only fiction that I can promise as of right now.
Okay. Now to talk a little bit of Turkey, what kind of costs will we be looking at in order to get some of these figures, and how would we go about buying them?
All right, so we're going to launch a Kickstarter come February.
Okay.
Now, we haven't locked down all the economics yet of the Kickstarter, mm-hmm. but we're probably going to be looking in the realm of $65,000 to $75,000 to start to get the first two guys made. And I won't say which two will be the first two guys available. If the Kickstarter is successful, which I really hope it is, a lot of the stuff on the Kickstarter will be exclusive to the Kickstarter. So if you're going to get these figures post-Kickstarter, they might come in, say, a comic book-inspired color scheme or a different type of color scheme or a different type of paint, maybe metallic. We haven't nailed it down yet. But we're going to do our very best, and this is our promise to the consumer, that we will do our very best to make these as cheap as possible to all the retailers so that they can in turn pass those savings on to you so that we can spread what we're trying to accomplish. It's not so much about making money. Right now it's more about, hey, we're a bunch of creative guys. We're putting these toys together. We want people to have them. We want people to play with them. We want people to have them in their collections, display them however they want, with whatever else they want. So we're going to make them as cheap as possible. We have a target price set in mind, but I can't get into that just yet.
Gotcha. But we can look forward to that around February of 15.
Yeah, around February. Yeah, we'll be launching that crowdfunding campaign.
Gotcha. And if it is successful, we can expect them to be at our normal popular retail, like online retailers, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. We've been contacted by all the usual suspects already. So we've already got our list of people interested in carrying the product.
Copy that. Now, sell this to us. Why should collectors play with this too, so to speak?
So between all of us, I haven't calculated it out yet, but between all of us, there's over 100 some years of experience in the toy industry. Mm-hmm. Some of us have almost 30 years experience in the toy industry. Some of us are experienced in engineering, in designing, in storytelling, in writing, in concept and world building. We are a group of professionals who have worked on some of the biggest brands, including Transformers, Star Wars, G.I. Joe. These are billion-dollar brands.
Sure.
Well, not so much G.I. Joe anymore.
Right. Oh. For better or worse.
50th anniversary.
All right.
Oh, no.
and we think there's a different way of doing it. And we think that if you can keep it small and you can keep it intimate, then you're going to make a better product, because you're not making it to fit a certain box on a shelf at a retail store. You're making the product for the product's sake. So you're investing your time and your energy and your design capabilities into making the best product possible. And then, to a very big degree, you're worrying about the price.
Right.
First comes the item and making sure that's as great as it can be. And then the price, and then there's kind of a negotiation between the two after that.
Gotcha. Real quick, before I let you go, I imagine that it's got to be great to have all of this creative freedom and not held down by any restraints of how many paint apps, how many pins, how many hinges, et cetera. Like, Are you guys just kind of living high off the hog at the moment with the excitement of being able to have this kind of unlimited freedom?
Right now, I'm just more focused on the back end stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of the designs are already done. We're waiting on 4 more characters at the moment. Okay. So when we launch our Kickstarter, we'll have about 10 characters. We'll have repaints and remolds of those characters. We'll have accessories, lots of headshots available. I'm more worried right now about making sure that deadlines are met with the artists and that I'll have certain things done on certain dates to meet certain marketing constraints.
Gotcha.
So I'm more worried about that. I will enjoy myself with a nice beer come February.
Right, right.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, you said that you worked on Transformers and G.I. Joe. I have a few friends who are G.I. Joe fans, and they actually asked me a question. They wanted to know, why do you think the G.I. Joe brand is either declining or it's not as it used to be?
All right, so G.I. Joe is what I would brand as a baby war brand. It's an army where nobody dies, nobody gets killed, nobody gets really hurt. And you have these other properties like Halo, Call of Duty, that 8 and 9 and 10 year olds are playing. And it's just excessive violence. It's war. It's graphic. There's language. There's visual cues that are very suggestive and stimulating. And then you have G.I. Joe, which can't live in that world. It tried. It tried to live in that world, and that's where Resolute came in. And Resolute was like a Valentine's card to everyone who wanted to see G.I. Joe take that next level. Hmm. And unfortunately, G.I. Joe just cannot compete with those other brands that are actual war. Because G.I. Joe really can't be about war, because at the end of the day, it's a toy brand which is marketed towards children. And in the company's eyes, those children are wholesome and they don't experience things like Call of Duty and Halo and Destiny and all those other violent games and films. Hmm. And I think that's why G.I. Joe has died.
That's
you said intriguing. Wow.
Pretty intriguing answer. Yeah. So I want to give you an opportunity to plug Play With This Too. Where can we look and find more information and kind of follow the progress of Play With This Too?
Well, we have our website, which is playwiththis2.com. We're on this new thing called Facebook. Has anybody heard about this? Facebook?
Facebook?
Yeah, we're Facebook. On this Facebook thing.
Okay.
And we're on the Twitter.
Twitter.
And I think it's spelled wrong. It's called Tumblr, but there's like a vowel missing.
No E. It's kind of like our Twitter handle.
Yeah, it's just I don't know, man. The internet's weird.
I got you.
And then there's also, you know, the usual sites, the usual places where you get your news. They've all been nice enough to drop us plugs here and there. But the website and the Facebook page are probably the best way to get a hold of us. And I will say that just because we're a bunch of guys who have had experience in the business, it doesn't mean we're not looking to help other people break into this industry.
Awesome.
People who don't know how, people who have been trying to get a foot in edgewise somewhere. We've put this up on our website that if you're interested in design, if you're interested in doing CAD work, please contact us. Maybe we can help you. Maybe we can find a place for you. And a number of people contact us. I've been speaking to a number of people who might end up contributing to Play With This Too. And in fact, we already signed one person who was an artist from the fandom. So
wait.
We'll make that announcement as to who she is.
Are you talking about a community?
Well, we're definitely going to have
community. I mean, in the sense of looking out for each other and trying to help each other out. And is that what you're I'm just making sure I got a handle on this concept.
Yes, it's on our website. If you're interested in design, if you're interested in what we're doing, you can email us, design@playwiththis2.com. We get a bunch of emails almost every day from people interested, and we answer every single email, and I see every single email. So it may take a couple of days, but we answer every single email we get.
Awesome.
And we did find one person already who we already signed. I sent her out the contract, and she is an artist from the fandom. And when the time comes, we'll make the announcement as to who she is. And I am thinking more about letting the fans contribute more to our Kickstarter by having either fans submit some designs that we would in turn pay for them. No one's going to do work for us for free.
I like it.
And having them do a set of headshots or some other thing that they can contribute to the Kickstarter. So it's not just about us. It's not just about egos. We're open to helping other people.
That's awesome. Well, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I went from someone with kind of a casual pass and go interest in this to someone with an awful lot of interest in this over the course of the past 20 minutes. And I hope that it has had the same effect on others. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and being as straightforward as you have been. And you've definitely earned my respect, and I'm pretty sure the respect of the show. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and maybe I'll come on again if you'll have me.
That sounds awesome.
Next time I'll try and bring a guest on.
Beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. Well, once again, thank you for coming on. We definitely appreciate your insight as well as the upcoming ideas, and make sure you check out Play With This Too at all of those sources you just gave, and we here at Shattercast will, of course, keep you up to date with all the news and so forth, and we'll try to get them back involved for our end of the year special. So thanks again, Rick.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
So if that doesn't make Matt want to say Hail Hasbro, I don't know what will.
Hail Hasbro.
There it is. I want to thank Rick. That dude was super fucking cool. And he's definitely piqued my interest. So we're going to be following that project pretty closely. And the end of the year special that we keep talking about, we're going to try to have Rick back to just kind of reflect on 2014.
And maybe we can get a figure made about him.
Maybe we can. So, Hasbro just dropped some doozy of a news from New York Comic Con, which is a ton of shit. I think the most exciting of which is we're getting a remold of Jetfire into IDW Thundercracker, and I am in.
Wow.
I am in. I can't say no to a good secret mold at that price.
You know what's going to happen now, right?
Or Jetfire into.
What'd you say?
Or recolor Jetfire into fucking 70 Seekers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually makes me want to get the Jetfire.
Too bad you passed it up, Bobby.
It won't be bad. The good news is they didn't stop making them when they made that one.
That's true.
Yeah, but you didn't get your discounts, Bobby.
Yeah, it'll still be there probably. But anyway,
I just want to point out that the helicopter aerial bot. God damn, that thing looks stupid. Like, sorry. It looks like it's like this mini jumbo jet type thing going on, and then it's got a propeller on top.
It looks like a without shuttle. The
wings. Yeah, you know why it looks like a shuttle? Because it's going to be blast off.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. They're going to remold the tail section to, like, a thruster and be like, yep, blast off.
I like the other Aerobots, though. I think they look pretty sweet.
Slingshot looks a little goofy.
Which one, the red one?
Yeah, no, who's the orange truck?
Is that Huffer?
That's a Legends Sentinel Prime, I guess. I don't know.
I bet that's Huffer.
That was fun.
Oh, you mean all the way the orange one?
Yeah, the little orange little guy. Is that? I don't know. I've never seen him yet. I thought it might be Huffer, but I don't know.
But yeah, I'm in for this Thundercracker. And if they do all of the Seekers, I'm probably going to go ahead and get another fucking group of Seekers because I just don't know any goddamn better.
I'm getting all this shit. I don't care. Hell has, hey, bro. Bob,
KMC's making Seeker tapes. You're going to get those?
Ugh. No.
God,
no, I am officially done with KFC tapes. Officially.
Thank God. Damn. That's the worst kind of fucking company
God,
ever
I've
had.
I've had some guys really get emotional about me like not cutting them any slack on the reviews of those tapes. But like, good grief, man! Like, I don't know if they're getting the same product I'm getting, but
If it's shit, it's fucking shit.
Yeah, you know, that's how I feel. But these aerial bots, they look decent. I think that Slingshot is – it's kind of disappointing because Slingshot is, you know, arguably the most interesting aerial bot. Would we all agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like he's the least interesting here.
I personally always liked Air Raid, but I prefer the Air Raid name.
Hey, Matt.
Right.
Yep.
Matt, that is Huffer, man.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
Huh. But I think the Thundercracker looks great. I think it really lends itself well. Like, the little bit of retooling that they did is, like, I think that's a good use of it.
The alt mode for Jetfire, definitely. Now, here's my thing. Since we're not getting the booster pack, like, what are they going to do to sweeten the pot? That little bit extra money. Is that going to be profit, or?
It's going to sweeten the pot of the CEO's wallet.
Yeah. Probably so.
Hail Hasbro.
Yeah.
So do we think
You know what would be awesome? Spoilers, we should get the fucking dog. And nobody
I know what you're talking about. I know.
We should get his fucking dog.
IDW. Okay. No, I don't know anything about it.
That would be cool.
He has color? It's a kind of a light. Is it light blue? I mean, unless that's the light. Flash.
Yeah, that could be the Flash. Flash, but it's also a dark room, so.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Flash Greg.
Flash is red, not blue.
I don't know what to say to you, Greg. I'm sorry.
Whatever, dude. Fuck y'all. I'm gone.
Love you. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Later.
Love you.
I think the rest of these look great. I for what they are. You know, like, I think that the combined modes is still pretty much an abomination. But these robots are looking good. You know, the jets look a little goofy. Slingshot looks a little goofy. The fucking helicopter looks retarded. And I mean that in a clinical way, so I'm not being mean. And
Bobby, why are you saying mean?
And the Thundercracker, I think, is super interesting. And I'm going to get the Motormaster because I don't have a choice.
Stunticon fan.
Yeah, but the... The Motormaster's face looks a little
happy.
It looks a little doofy.
He's like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Hey, fellas, Motormaster here.
Santo Barbosa. That's gonna be. They should put a chip in him just saying that right there.
Do we think that's all that we're gonna get out of New York Comic Con? Do you think this is it, or do you think they're still holding back a little? You think more?
They'll do the Stunticons probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, Hasbro's not there in person at all, though. So,
but yeah, this is Hasbro.
Yeah.
No, I think we'll get some more. I don't think we're gonna get a lot, but we'll get some.
Right, they're not gonna be on the floor, but that's like some behind the scenes stuff.
Right, there's here. Greg right there. He's gonna say something.
That's fucking Huffer out of Optimus Prime. Yeah. Third use of that fucking Legends mold, dude. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of
here. Fuck that! I got excited. I was trying to pull up the pictures. When I heard Huffer, fuck that.
I'm getting Huffer. He looks sexy. Okay.
No, he doesn't.
I'm in for that Motormaster, and I like him.
Yeah.
If nothing else, for that fucking sword.
Yeah.
How can you be in on that Optimus turned Huffer? Like, there's nothing about that mold that says Huffer.
Nothing. Except it's orange, and it's spelled the same way.
Because it's fucking Hasbro, that's why. That's all you gotta say. I'm in. $30. I'm buying that little fucker.
$30.
Hold on.
He's gonna be about. Hopefully, he's about 8 or 9. Hopefully.
So yeah. Matt Baldwin single-handedly funding the next round of employee layoffs.
Yeah. Matt Baldwin.
That's what I gotta do. I gotta keep Hasbro around. Fuck.
Matt Baldwin.
Got shit to talk about. Anyway. No,
Battleship sunk his old career. Matt Bowen was going to sing his new one.
Battleship 2 will sink it again.
So you don't think they're going to show anything else?
I think they'll show the aerial bots. It's gonna be behind the scenes, though.
I don't think it'll be on the floor. It'll be behind the scenes.
Huh. Well, they're on the floor. You know, this is obviously them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a panel or anything. You know, they don't have like a press release, so to speak.
Right. I think they'll show the Combaticons.
The Stunticons.
I doubt it.
Or Stunticons. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Stunticons. I think they'll show them.
We'll see. I wouldn't be sad to see him go, and let's get Greg back. And I guess that pretty much does it. Does anybody have anything else they want to add about this Hasbro news? Matt, do you want to gloat at all? Or
no, I'm just, you know, it took 40 episodes, and I finally get Hasbro news is fucking better than the third party. Yay!
Yeah. Actually, the skydive, the face looks stupid as shit.
Of course, you would find something to fucking put it down.
Like, look at this fucking face. It looks like Megatron's head.
Yep.
I don't care. Y'all will get that shit. I don't care.
Sorry. All right. So this week we're going to start. We have a lot of fucking listener questions, so we're going to get into that too. But this week we're going to start with our talking about – we're gonna go through all the series and – today we're starting with G1, More Than Meets the Eye, 1 through 3. And it almost turned Greg away from G1.
Yeah, honestly, to rewatch this, like... Dude, there's like... I counted like 12 serious errors in like the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The purple jets, whatever they were.
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, we can do the Seekers. So there's three, and then Starscream sounded like fucking Motormaster, and then all of a sudden there weren't the main three. It was the blue, purple, and yellow one, and then there were six Seekers, and then there were five, and then Starscream sounded like Megatron, and then only two Seekers went into pursuit. And then Bumblebee turns into a hover vehicle, but he lost a tire, and then said his back axle was fucked up.
Tire.
And all the fucking light posts on fucking Cybertron look like Soundwave.
Yeah, that was...
It's a brilliant alt mode, man. I mean, he doesn't get much better.
No, when he transforms and Jazz goes by him, like, how did fucking Jazz not see him transform? I mean, once he transformed, man, Jazz was right there. I was like, fucking what? But no, yeah. The one thing that I got was, you know what? Starscream fucked up everything because none of this would have been started if he wouldn't have fucking blasted the fucking rocks to move up his problems.
But on the same hand, the Autobots would not have actually, you know, been able to revive had Megatron let him finish. You know, like, I mean, half the problem that the Autobots actually are still in existence is because, you know, Megatron did a classic villain. Like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to assume that, you know, you're not getting out of
there. They're so much smaller, too, God, than the Decepticons in this one. I know it's Mirage and all of them are just, they look like fucking mini-boss to the fucking jets.
What's Mirage? Jesus Christ, with his fucking Down syndrome? No can prime. Look at me, I'm too invincible.
You know what's funny is I remember, like, I think, like, when I got it, when I started watching Transformers, it was like after this era of it. Like, I think I probably got into it around the end of season one, the beginning of season two, and I had this, like, the first, like, More Than Meets the Eye on a VHS tape, like, combined.
Nice.
And like, I remember watching it as a kid and being, like, super confused by, like, the alt modes of Wheeljack and Bumblebee. Like why are they like this? You know, like, it didn't register me whatsoever. Like,
Wheeljack had that fucking, like, laser-proof shield. Like, why didn't he keep that shit around?
No, he had to bring that shit back up so he could see, man.
I also noted how fragile Ironhide is, you know, getting the whole, like, falling over and, you know, leaking loose lubricant from just, like, falling in the ship. So, you know, dude needs some life alert, that's for sure.
Yeah, when Soundwave busted in when they got on the ship and everything, he fucked up all the Autobots first. And then I think one time, I know that I won't put this out, Prime, I think, was being a dick when Ironhide, like, it looked like Prime pushed him out of the way when they're trying to get away from the rocks. He's like, Ironhide! And he just, like, pushes his ass out of the way. And so he's firing a laser to go through the rocks and shit. I was like, man, Prime's a dick.
And you know what? Huffer's kind of a pussy.
Oh, yeah, he got caught in that fucking in the water and shit?
Yeah.
He's like, I can't get out. Motherfucker, you're a Transformer. Like, and deal, then, dude. Get your gun out. And do something.
They go underwater, and fucking they know nothing about humans, and Prime's like, just keep your head above the water.
Motherfucker, you don't breathe.
What the fuck is called Spike?
Spike and them are breathing. You don't breathe. Y'all can fucking stay under there the whole fucking million years again, and you'll be all right. You just might rust a little bit.
Wow.
And
then well, no, he's talking to the humans, but how the fuck does he know?
There's, of course, that
and he's like, internet. Keep your head above the water. When did he ever see fucking water? How much water is on fucking Cybertron?
Yeah.
Not a goddamn drop. That's how much.
But you know, I remember as
your
a kid,
are like, made of rust.
I remember vividly, like I would put Soundwave in that Cybertronian mode, like my, you know, my G1 Soundwave, like every now and then, and then like also Laserbeak, I would like tuck his wings back and he, and you know try to like replicate that.
Oh yeah.
And how about when Laserbeak was following? Who was it? Was it? It was Ironhide.
Hound, was it Hound?
And Cliffjumper.
Hound, and they're like, what's that? What's that ball? We've never seen that before. It's only the fucking thing that comes out of Soundwave's fucking chest.
Yeah.
And then he ejects his weapon, and it follows Cliffjumper, and then
I used to do that as a kid, too. Like, I would take off the weapon, like, you know, out of one of the ports, and, like, I would split them off. It was funny, like, as I was watching it, I was thinking about how many of the play patterns, like, I just straight mimicked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, without, like, without thinking of it. Like,
I want third party to make those the Cybertronians. That Laserbeak looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, I really don't want to go that route, to be honest with you. Like, third party's putting a hurting on me these days. But yeah, like I was just, you know, I was thinking about like all those fucking you know, all like the different little, like I remember like I would scatter all my Transformers around Prime's trailer, and I'd have Prime's trailer opened up, and I would pretend that that fucking thing that rose up was the little flying thing that scanned images, and then I would like bring them all back to life, you know, and then have them go on about their little missions, like that little repair, all that shit. Like I did that shit all the time.
Are we on episode 2 yet?
Well, we're kind of just talking about all three of them, like,
in concert. Yeah. So, we already talked about
how, 2. Like, later on, like, they establish that if, like, the trailer Roar gets hurt, Prime is fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. But fucking, I think it was episode 3, Megatron just blows the trailer up, and Prime's like, all right, fuck you, I'm going to shoot your gun off. Like, when the trailer gets fucked up, like, he's got to get help back to base, right? Or that's the cartoon, right? Or is that the comic?
No, I mean, he gets blown up. I mean, they're doing the rubies and shit in that mountain and everything, and Bumblebee attaches a bomb or something, and then it blows up, and then Prime's rolling, you know, down the mountain and shit with the trailer. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, when it's him and Megatron, the second round, and this is after they already fought on the...
It's you and me now,
and the fucking guns come up out of the trailer. Megatron blows up the trailer. And then Prime shoots a gun off Megatron's arm. And then they act like they've never fought before. Like, I've been waiting for this an eternity since yesterday. But I guess I forgot how to fly in a fucking day. I guess they forgot they fought, too. Goddamn Autobots just like, oh, yeah, we're going to get flying in the fucking air. And then, like, the next day, it's like, I need your rocket pack.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I what was confusing to me as a kid was... the Decepticon chain of command. Like, I couldn't, like, for the life of me, like, is Shockwave number 2? Or is Starscream number 2? Or is Starscream number 2?
Yeah,
or Soundwave number 2? Like, you know, I could, like, never. It seems like it changed.
Mm-hmm. It just got me when Shockwave transformed into a gun. But I guess that was his Earth mode. I guess that's his Cybertron mode. And...
Yeah, he's number 2, then Soundwave, then Starscream.
Or Starscream. I always thought Starscream was number 2 in charge. I think
number 2.
What?
right?
He's not stronger than Shockwave.
And? See, I think Starscream is number two.
Yeah, well, I always thought Starscream was number two.
How about the goddamn Autobot chain of command?
Chaz.
When did Jazz start calling the shots?
Jazz
is a special ops officer.
Yeah, he was a lieutenant. He was always their second command.
But even that's confusing because, like, you know, as it goes on, sometimes it seems like Ironhide, sometimes it seems like Prowl, sometimes it seems like Jazz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever's sitting on the shelf.
Because we were kids, we think really cared. I mean, you know, who was.
Well, as a kid, I definitely care. Now I don't.
I was a smart kid, Matt. I did care.
Greg. God. You are so smart. You are the genius of Transformers. Yay. Yay.
As a
the
kid,
correct answer to that, Matt, was Hale Hasbro. But thanks for playing. Send you home with the home game.
As a kid, I definitely cared. Like, I definitely gave a shit. Now not so much. But and then there's all those clones die in the mines. Which is, like, awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, fucking Roller is, like, makes the same noise as R2.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's shit from
Star Wars. Like, it's just, like, you know. It's crazy. And it's, like, the only time you see Roller. And I remember, like, really giving a shit about Roller, which is kind of funny. But, like, once again, it's that play pattern. Like, I remember doing that. I remember taking Optimus Prime's trailer and, like, having it roll down a hill. Like, I remember all that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. And, yeah, it was good to watch those new ones. I mean, it was good to watch these again. I haven't watched them in so long; I just forgot about them. But to rewatch them again, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and after the first episode, you never see Jazz use the anchor arm anymore.
Well, there's a whole bunch of that shit, like the rocket pack and the axe and the mace and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
I say they don't use that anymore. Yeah. But that's a pretty cool fight.
Because I guess it was a pilot. You know what
that's
I mean?
For the whole seat. Though,
right,
you know.
Right. But it was just like a pilot, you know. Like, yeah. I don't think when they did those three, they didn't have clearance for a whole season. So they were just like, "Fuck it, throw everything at it," you know. And then
they were just trying to get picked up.
Yeah, it got picked up.
He didn't have the rocket pack. Hold on. That was like he had to go get that shuttle so they could go back home, right? Yeah. And he was like, "Sideswipe, I need your rocket pack," and he's like, "But." My rocket pack? But I need that.
Bitch, give me my fucking rocket pack.
Yeah.
It's like, give me the goddamn rocket pack and shut the fuck up. Like,
what's my name? Prime. That's what I said.
Shut the fuck up, Chip.
It was Dark Smooth back in 1984.
If you think about how, like, outnumbered the Decepticons were, like, you know, after they lost their clone army, it's just like fucking the Seekers, the three Seekers... Soundwave and the tapes.
Yeah, the Reflector.
Megatron and Reflector. And the Autobots is like a fucking billion of them.
Yeah.
And they still
and more showing up just every day, just out of nowhere.
And they still can't get it together.
They called Grapple a weird name, like a...
Oh, they called it Holder.
Holder.
I was like, what the... Who?
There's like a big, you know, argument that's not Grapple, you know, that is like its own character. And
it's actually not Grapple. Really?
If they were sitting around, they're like, one day.
It's not Grapple.
Sure, there's going to be fan fiction. What can we do to get in on that from the start? Oh, I know. Hauler, the 7th Constructicon.
There's actually an issue for that. I didn't know there was an issue about that, but
oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. And there's a toy for it. Was it BotCon or was it E-Hobby?
E-Hobby, yeah.
It's green. Is it a Grapple? A green Grapple?
Yeah, it's an E-Hobby green Grapple.
Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Anyway. Fucking Transformer fans. You gotta love them.
But yeah, I don't know.
Do we all agree that G1 sucked?
No, man.
No, hell no. Fuck
you. I find all that was like little errors and stuff. They're still endearing to me. Like I always have a place for that.
Oh yeah.
And to me, like I don't, for being such a critical person, I don't really watch it with a very critical eye. Like Greg was like going into seizures watching it.
Yeah, he's like I have a.
I remember there being errors, but like I just never noticed them until I was watching it. Like to be critical, because I didn't know what we were going to talk about. So I was like trying to remember every single thing, and
like for me, as I was watching it,
aneurysm.
Right.
For me, all I could, Gary Coleman died of multiple aneurysms.
Yeah.
Doctor said it was different. Doctor said it was different strokes. Whatever.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you one fucking thing, though.
Good night, folks.
The whole fucking time I was watching it.
Shit.
That's it.
The whole time I was watching it, I had Masterpiece Soundwave, Masterpiece Wheeljack, and all the goddamn tapes, all five of them, and I was playing with them the whole fucking time. Like I was 6 years old again.
I imagine you all sitting on the couch watching it together.
We were.
What gets me is after 30 years, like I said, it was still interesting to watch. And, you know, and like I said, it took me back and, you know, after school, you know, getting out, you know, after school and everything, getting a snack and everything, and just sitting down in front of the TV and watching that shit, it just brought you back. I mean, that's why it got interested in me tonight when I watched it.
I mean, for me, it was just, I was just amazed at how many things I replicated as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. There wasn't one episode that like I didn't do two or three of the things that were in the show, you know, on my living room floor.
Yeah, I mean, I used to say, "Hey, Mom, watch me! I transform into like a little fucking ball, and I try to roll around like a fucking car."
Well, I remember.
Just brought me back to that.
God damn it! I had a joke, but it was really mean. But I'm gonna say it anyway.
Well,
it
only took 3 years. I know, because I roll around like a fat ass. But I've lost 10 pounds. So
you
can suck a big fat ass. What you can suck. I've lost 10 pounds, and I'm getting ready for KFCon so I can fucking walk around.
Okay. That's this is too good not to fucking poke fun of. I'm sorry. I love you, and I look forward to.
I remember as a kid, like there was like a group of kids in the neighborhood. I can only wish that they were still Transformer fans. I know that they're more than likely not. But shout out to Michael Parisino if you're out there. Get up with me. But we were fucking – it was a neighborhood full of kids. And, like, we would all go outside and, like, we would play Transformers. Like, when somebody would say, like, hey, man, let's play some Transformers. Like, the next question was always, with toys or real humans? And then, if they said real humans, like, I would always be a seeker. And I would put my arms out to the side and, like, fly around, you know, and then I would, like, jump up in the air and make the transforming sound and then, like, land. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then jump up and then, like, land on the ground. And then I remember, like, as I was walking around, I would go, and I was just, like, remembering all this shit as a kid, like, you know, just the amount of shit that I used to replicate. You know, like, it was really pretty fucking brilliant marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Best fucking toy of all time, to me.
Yeah. I mean.
Sorry.
Anyway, we got a shit ton of listener questions.
Loser.
So we'll just let me write down the fucking. All right. So our first one is from Andrew. Shout out to Andrew. Very cool dude. He was talking about when we were talking to Proto Man, and he wants to know how everyone felt watching the movie for the first time, and especially if you were in the theater, and you know the death scenes in particular, and just how everyone felt. So let's go down the list. Antoine, did you see the '86 movie in the theater?
Yes, I did. And when Optimus Prime died, I didn't really cry, but I was kind of disappointed because he was the man, but but the overall movie, you know, was awesome. So I went to go see it like 5 times after that. But,
wow!
Damn. Yeah.
But, did you now that chair that you have in your family room? Did you get that?
Oh, I'll be quiet.
Was you sitting in that chair in the movies watching the trench?
Leave my chair alone.
I love it. Dude, if you ever got rid of that chair, I would really be like butthurt about it.
I'll be hurt.
Justin, did you see the '86 movie in the theater?
You know, I'm pretty sure I did, but I was like 5, so I honestly could not tell you my opinions anymore, you know?
I just saw stuff. He's like, robots.
Whatever, so, yeah.
Wow. What about you, Deluxe?
I happened to see it one time, and, it wasn't just Prime. I mean, you know, the beginning when Ratchet and Ironhide, all that, I was like, what in the hell is going on? I mean, this is really epic because this, you know, like you said, I grew up, you know, a couple years or watching these people, you know, or watching the cartoon and everything, and all these people are just dying. And, you know, at that time, I didn't know it's just for a marketing, you know, it's a big commercial. Right. And I was like, why are they killing off all these characters? And then Prime died. You know, I shed a little bit here. You know, I was about 8, I think, when I went and watched it. So I cried a little bit. But
you're too old to be crying in the theater at 8, man.
Eh, I don't care. I was crying. I was still a little boy. But yeah, it was. I'm glad I got to go see it. I didn't know really it came out until one of my friends mentioned it, and we went and watched it. And yeah, it was awesome. I hope they bring it back to show on the theaters again or something. That'd be pretty cool.
What about you, Greg?
I didn't see it in the theater. I was too busy watching He-Man.
Yeah.
I saw that motherfucker on weekend.
You saw the live-action one on opening weekend?
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah, I saw that in the theater. I loved it.
I saw it in the theater,
I didn't know what the hell was going on, but I loved it. Who the fuck is Gildor? Who's Karg? I was like, who's Star? Oh, never mind.
Oh, man, that is a fancy Simon Says machine.
Skeletor's all Thunder. Shiny.
Do you remember the first time you saw it?
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
My public library, as most public libraries do, rented videotapes for 50 cents for 3 days. And I remember I didn't even know the fucking movie came out. I lived in a small – see, here's the thing. I lived in a small town where we had, for the longest time, one movie theater with two screens.
Oh, we did too.
I had to go to the next town over to see He-Man. So I didn't even know Transformers the movie came out, but I saw it in the library in that fucking big ass plastic like storybook fucking case, and I rented that movie every weekend for a good year. Shit you not. Every Friday afternoon we'd go to the library and I'd get that fucking video. And back then, I was actually so young, when I would see the actors' names pop up, I wondered, like, how they made those suits. Like, how did you make animation suits? Because, like, it just didn't click with me.
This is that genius kid we were talking about before.
Hey, come play with me.
No. Do you remember, as being more of a He-Man fan, did the death scenes have a big impact on you at the time? Do you remember them?
Yeah, well, see, that was just like, it really did, it did, it didn't. I was just like, yeah, they died. I was more concerned with, like, where the fuck did RC and Ultra Magnus and Cup come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny
like,
now.
That's
like,
what I was trying to solve that mystery. I was, like, going back and you know, we couldn't just go on the internet back then, so back in my day.
Right.
So I was sitting there watching the G1, like, you know, watching them come on television, like, hoping they'd rerun the episode that I missed with Cup and Ultra Magnus showing up. I was like, the last thing I remember, the fucking high school kids made the robot that went crazy from fucking Brawl's brain or whatever.
Well, it's funny because my father, like, I watched it with my father, and I wish he would have just told me, like, because I was concerned, too. Like, where the fuck are all these people from? Like, where? Who? Springer? Like, I was like, oh, he's like that toy I have. But, like, you know, like, my father could have told me, like, easily, like, well, this is set 20 years in the future. You know, and I'd be like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. But, like, nobody bothered, you know, like, I would definitely have told my dad probably was just, like, watching it half asleep. I saw it in the theater with my dad. My dad, like, he worked in public service, so, like, for my father, like, being on time was, like, being 15 to 20 minutes early, and like it is something that has like stuck with me. Like if I'm supposed to be somewhere and it looks like I'm going to arrive like 10 minutes early, like I'll start getting anxious feeling that I'm going to be late. Like I am usually everywhere I need to be 45 minutes to an hour early. Like it's like a gift and a curse. Like I spend a lot of time in parking lots,
but meanwhile it's 5 minutes till showtime and he's like, oh, I'm gonna get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but I'm here. You know, I'm safe.
I understand you, but I'm the same way, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm crazy about being punctual. But at any rate, we were arrived late to this movie. I saw all of it. You know, we didn't arrive after it started or anything, but like it was my theater was filled up and we saw it like in the front row. It's the only movie I've ever seen in the front row. And my father hated the front row. My father was a back row guy. And I remember, like, when they stormed that ship, and I remember, like, feeling like my whole fucking world had been turned upside down. Like, what the fuck? Like, and then I remember thinking, like, oh, they'll be all right. You know, Ratchet will fix them up, or Wheeljack will fix them up, and they'll be all right. And then when fucking Megatron blew Ironhide to, like, bits, I was like, oh, he's not coming back.
Yeah, and, Ratchet was already dead.
Yeah. And then when fucking, when Prime died, I cried. I cried like a baby. I was five, so it wasn't, you know, yeah. And my father hated Starscream. Like, he hated Starscream with a passion. He hated his voice. He hated everything about Starscream. He hated his treacherous ways. My father is very much like a, you know, don't buck the system, you know, kind of guy. So Starscream's not his type of fella. And when Starscream died, my father clapped. Like, I remember that, like, pretty vividly.
Oh, that sucked. I cried at that part, too, because Starscream I liked. It was a line to mine. When we went to the theater, it was a long line to mine. I remember that, waiting in line for it. So there was...
Yeah. But it was a life-changing event for me. Like, it was the first time, I think, that I'd ever, like, encountered fiction that had, like, lasting consequences.
Oh, the curse, too.
Yeah, but I didn't even...
It lasted fucking 14 episodes until they brought Ron back, but whatever.
I didn't even... Well, I mean, yeah, but they didn't bring everybody back. It still had lasting consequences. But, like, I didn't even notice the cursing as a kid. My mother cursed like a sailor, and so, like, it was like probably just went overlooked to me. But I rented it all the time, because that was back in the day when, like, remember when VHS movies would be like $100? Like, if VHS movies didn't get like a super big release, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles got like a super big release, but like if a lot of VHS, like, stores would only get like one or two copies per store. And you didn't have, like, the Best Buys and all that shit. Like, you know, things were relatively small. And if you only had two copies, they were selling them for, like, a high buck. So, like, I used to rent them. I used to rent them all the time. And, yeah.
Well, I just want to say, do you remember it? I mean, it was – when Prime died, I mean, there was so many, like, kids that were traumatized. Like, the parents and shit were writing letters to Hasbro. And that's why I think that's why they brought them back.
Yeah,
because there were so many. Just imagine the internet would have been back then, how easy it would have been to him. But I mean, they were so mad and everything that they broke tons of letters to Hasbro, and I think that's the reason why Prime made a comeback, because people were so mad.
Well,
it was
that,
enough. But they rewrote G.I. Joe at the last minute.
Yeah,
and brought
Duke
back.
Duke. Yeah.
But I remember parents taking their kids out of the movies, like when I saw it in the theater.
Oh, yeah, there were kids crying and shit, yeah. It was
But, yeah, fucking awesome. I mean, that movie, like, if I had to go to an abandoned island and could only take five movies, it would be on the list.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Justin Christian asks, with TFCon coming up, thinking about if you guys had a chance to throw your own convention, how would you set it up? What kind of guests would you have? Where would you have it?
Awesome. And
how would you make it? How would you make it stand out from the rest of the cons?
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. It'd be Shattercast. Yeah.
I think that I actually looked into throwing a convention briefly, and then I realized just how much it would take that I just don't have the time and energy for at the moment. I would want to throw it on the East Coast, because I feel like the East Coast is a very, like, untapped place for that sort of thing. We got Comic Cons out the ass, but not a whole lot of toy shows, and especially not, you know, Transformer, like, real niche type shows. I talked to a couple Transformer dealers about doing it, and they were like all super excited. Like, I went to a MegaCon and got to talking about it. And by the time that I made one loop around, it went from me going up to dealers coming up to me, like having heard by word of mouth that I was thinking about putting together a show. Yeah, so I, like, because they were, you know, that's how they make their money, so they were excited about it because there's just not a lot of it. And I got to looking into it, and like, a buddy of mine is like, he's pretty involved in a different kind of circuit, and he was telling me how much goes into it, and I was just like, fuck. Like, when I started to scratch beneath the surface, I was like, I don't have the time and energy to do this right now.
Yeah.
But it's still like a dream of mine to do a convention. But I would try to, you know, the thing is You know, in a dream world, I'd have as many G1 voice actors and all that kind of stuff as I possibly could, and artists and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, it's like the truth of the matter is it comes down to fucking money. And what I would probably end up looking to do would be like a Saturday Transformer thing and then like a Sunday just a pop culture thing. And I would try to get people who were accessible as guests, like wrestlers and shit like that, people that'll just show up to anything.
You know, just to get Hammer.
Just to get people into the door. Like if you look at like a lot of like low budget cons, they've always got like some wrestler on the ticket. You know, a wrestler and then like the little kid who was in the Munsters. He like shows up to everything. But you know, that's the thing, like the amount of money, like it all comes down to money, and it's like on the East Coast, like if you're in a city, then you got a lot of times you got to deal with unions, and you know they got to set up, they got to take down, and you know then you got to pay them, and you know when you could just do it yourself, but it goes against the rules, and it's a pain in the dick. But I would want to set it up on the East Coast. I'd want to cater it towards the people of my generation that kind of have the money, because that's what I would be chasing, and that's what I'm kind of interested in is the stuff from my generation. And to make it stand out, I really don't know. Like the way to make it stand out would be to do it big, because there's no real big toy show around this area. But how to do that and make it, you know, a physical success, I'm at a loss, and I think a lot of people are, and I think that's why we don't see them, unfortunately. Does anybody have
it? Has Greg there, and you got that shit made.
Yeah, Greg knows a lot of people, that is for sure.
If I could do a convention, I would do it in Bobby's basement. I'd have us there. And for special guests, I'd have that copy of Transformers the movie that I watched over and over on VHS, the very copy from the library. That would be our one special guest. And the last one to fall asleep wins.
That sounds like a date. Shit.
Man.
Does anybody have anything?
I'll show you a date, motherfucker.
Oh, motherfucker.
me, you, and a leader class Age of Extinction Grimlock.
Fuck yeah. Gonna party up with some fucking Vaseline.
With a little spike. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, East Coast, I'll probably have it Midwest more than me, like, probably like St. Louis, because you're closer, you know, to Chicago and bigger cities and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know how. One of my, you know, guy that was the one here in Arkansas, and it's a lot of fucking work. It's just to get, you know, people, everything situated and everything. It takes time. So, yeah. I wouldn't want to do it personally, but I like going to them.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to add to that?
Nope. Well, I mean, I would like to also set it up on the East Coast. I mean, I don't know how I'll go about doing it, but obviously it'll be, you know, Transformers, you know all the retro fans, 80s, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it'll be a lot of work, but it'll be worth it. But I don't have time for it.
I mean, it takes an awful lot of planning and like a really, like, you know, a lot of people that know how to work money and handle the system and, you know, work with people. And like, then you got to look at the hotels and you got to look at what hotels can hold that many people. And then what kind of hotels are near like eating establishments so that people can have a place to walk to eat and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just, there's an awful lot that goes into it. And I would love to do one. I'm still not ruling it out. But a lot of times my ambition outweighs my ability, so to speak. It's funny stuff. Let's see what else. James Kane, he asks, what are some things that we look for in a quality figure? We kind of have touched on this last week, I think. But for me, you know, ratchets. I like strong joints. My thing with one of my big things with figures is that I want a figure that's gonna last for a while. Like if you look at like a lot of like
Jetfire.
Sorry, play on my Jetfire, Bobby.
Yeah, I hear you. If you look at like a lot of figures like I have like I'm a big DC nut, and I have Alex Ross's Justice figure line. I have like all of them, but like the exclusives, and I've had them standing on my shelf forever, and their legs are starting to bow out from like holding their own weight. So like, I've seen it with a lot of other people's Transformer collections that like those like I'm always critical of those ball joints on those hips, because a lot of times after a while, just of them having to support their own weight for so long, they start doing the Uranus split on you. And so like what I'm looking for in a figure, aside from like paint apps and stuff like that, because I just, you know, I just like fucking a little bit of pop in my figures, but it's really the durability and stability of a long lasting display piece, you know, and that's why I look for ratchets. That's why I look for things that are going to not wear out as quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's me. And I think a lot of people, because you also want to know what the common mistakes collectors make when buying figures. And I think that the mistake that people make is, especially in the Transformers game, is a lack of patience. It's a lack of saying, like, I could get this, but somebody's going to come behind this with something better. You know, like, when, I don't know, this bad cube, right? And I'm not being critical of, you know, super critical of them, but like they've got this Brawn and Outback coming out, and they don't look terrible, you know, they don't. But they don't look great, and Brawn is a major character. Somebody is going to come along and do that one better than what they're offering. They just are. But Transformer fans have a very hard time being patient. They you know, it's like, oh shit, I gotta act now. I gotta get that one. I gotta get him now for my shelf and use it now. And well, won't hold out.
How do you like your iGear Brawn,
Bobby? I like my iGear Brawn a lot.
Anything? Okay. Another? Alrighty.
No, well, what I like is jump at the gun, you know. Somebody else is gonna do it better. I don't know. I thought about it. I don't know. There's figures like that I buy. Like everyone's bitching about Ollie and whatever, and like I like it. And then I'll get the better one. When a better one comes out, you know. I guess the point I was trying to make was, like, you say it's a lack of patience, and then you get that one you think is going to be the best one out there. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 years later, a better one comes out. Like, if I had put out, let's say I was Jai Wong Toys, and I put out Masterpiece Soundwave 5 years ago, you would have bought that shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, you know, the game is, you know, constantly evolving. But I think the key is to stay, you know, on top of it. Like, I'm not saying that I'm immune to mistakes. You know, I bought that iGear Swerve and Gears.
I'm with you, man. That,
you know, and looking back on it now, like, I was a complete fucking moron. Like, how could I not look at that and know that something was going to come behind it, you know, eventually and blow it out of the water? It has to. You know, like, it's just one of those things. Like, you know, everything that I've learned about collecting, I've learned from making my own mistakes, you know? Like, I'm not saying that I'm immune to it. I'm just saying that one of the things I didn't do was wait. And that's why I've blown money, you know?
Yeah.
So by not buying Dr. Toys Chronos, you don't wait till Phantom make it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a prime example. Like, the reason why I got Dr. Toys Chronos was because when the word got out that, you know, now Fans Toys denies this, you know, we spoke with Fans Toys and they denied it, but the rumor was that Dr. Toys was affiliated with Fans Toys. And the rumor started spreading that Jetfire design that we heard was coming out through Fans Toys was Daka's design. And once he split ways with Fans Toys, he took the design with him. So I started thinking to myself, well, fuck, I'm not going to get that Fans Toys Jetfire now because he's taken the design. You know, I hadn't spoken to Fans Toys prior to that. When I spoke to Fans Toys, they said, yeah, we're definitely doing the Jetfire still. You know, that's not his. This is ours and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that's why I went forward with that Daka Toys Chronos, was because I thought that was going to be what the Fans Toys was supposed to be. And I couldn't have been more wrong. But, you know, that was believing the rumors and believing the hype. And, you know, it just takes a critical eye. It takes a couple fucking mistakes and you get a couple pieces of shit. And if you don't need to be the first guy with it, wait, like find a couple reviewers that you trust that you think have a similar, you know, sensibility to you and wait for their opinion on it and then go that route. You know, if you find out you can't trust them, then you can move on to the next guy. There's a million guys out there with a camera. So what about you, Justin? You're heavy in the game. What do you?
I mean, for me, a lot of it boils down to what I just find is, you know, fun and well engineered. The engineering aspect of it's really the reason Transformers above any other line is interesting to me. So, you know, that's a big thing is, you know, just how it's engineered and how it's made and, you know, obviously good paint apps help. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah. And then as for like, you know, the advice of like, you know, making mistakes and waiting, like, yeah, I mean, that's happened to everybody. I don't think anybody who, you know, has done anything in the Transformers toys, like, hasn't made that kind of mistake. I mean, same can go for even just, you know, Hasbro releases of things like TFC Jazz, you know, like, or TFCC Jazz, I should say, like, that was based off the Crosswise mold, and then they made that awesome RTS version, so, like, it's not even, you're not even safe, you know, first party, so,
yeah. Right. Yeah, and Matt buys everything, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, anything Hasbro, I'm good. And anything that says Sancho Barbosa, I'm good with that.
Hey, actually, I want to throw out, because we mentioned that, we mentioned BotCon and the Jazz Bolt. If anybody has a kickoff that they're trying to get rid of for less than anal, let me know. You can leave it in the comments or shoot me a private message on the old Facebook.
All right. James S. asks, I was going to take this one is because unless anybody else is living with some kids that wants to offer some advice, but he is going to have a 10-month-old staying with him. And he says, is there any advice we can get a protecting collection from kids?
Good luck.
What I can say is that at 10 months, you're kind of lucky in the sense that the kid is definitely impressionable. You know, the problem is when you get like that 6-year-old, you know, yeah. that 6-year-old, his path has already been laid. Like that kid is who that kid is. Like, you know, it's not going to be the same person he is when he's an adult, but the mistakes that the parents have made, and every parent makes mistakes, they're already pretty much hardwired in. My kids have known since the beginning that, you know, if they don't fuck with my shit, I won't fuck with their shit. So, like, my kids are extremely respectful of my things, and they're also, well, not my youngest one, because my youngest one is still on the learning curve, and she's a terror, but my older one, like, she has like a not only a lot of respect for my things, but also for her things. And, you know, you just gotta, the key is the rules and being consistent and making sure that the consequences are immediate and that the consequences are followed through. My kid is riding the bus right now, right to school. And I see this, I'm not, you know, I try not to judge the way a parents their kids. You know, but it's hard. And there's this one set of parents that meets at my bus stop, and every morning they are yelling at their youngest daughter, if you don't stop doing this, we're going to go straight home, or we're not going to do this, or you're not going to get these crackers, or you're not going to get this cookie, or you're not. And guess what? The kid never stops. They never go home. The kid always gets the fucking cracker or whatever. And when a kid realizes that the rules are not going to be enforced, they don't give a fuck because,
game over.
You know, like, they're smarter than you. Like, they're playing for keeps. So, like, every morning I see them yelling at their kids, and every morning their kids don't pay a fucking lick of attention to them. Whereas, like, you know, I can, like, I mean, it sounds shitty, but, like, you know, I can, like, if I say my daughter's name in a certain tone, she immediately stops everything she's doing. And it's not like I've never put my hand on the kids. Like, it's not that I'm against spanking. I've just never had to do it. But
that's where we went wrong with Matthew.
But everything.
Fuck you, Greg. I got spanked. Shut the fuck up.
And but not by us. And every consequence that we've put out there is carried out.
You went quiet. You got quiet.
And sometimes the hard part is to your detriment. Like, you know, we took. I remember we took. Not to get too carried away on the subject, but I could talk about parenting forever. But like, we took Jane, my oldest daughter, to the aquarium, and it was like $35 a ticket to get into this fucking place, right? And I hate the fucking aquarium. It's nothing but fish swimming about. Like, I'm there for 10 seconds, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Let's go the fuck home. But we spent, like, by the time it's all been done, it's like $100 we got tied up in this visit, and we're about an hour into it. And you don't even, like, the only part of the pool is the fucking sharks, right? And they put that at the goddamn end because they want to make sure that you go through everything and go through every fucking gift shop and buy a goddamn stuffed seal and, you know, everything else. So we're about 30 minutes into it, and my oldest daughter is, she's about 3 or 2, and she throws a fucking tantrum. And I was like, get it together or we're out of here. And I always did the count of 3-1. And all these parents out there that you see doing 1, 2, 2.5, 2¾, Billy, 2.
Billy.
That fucks you up. I used to go 1, 2, 3. And then when I got to 3, the consequence was enforced immediately. So, like, you know, we had $100 tied up in this visit. We're a half hour in. I yanked her ass up out of there, and we got out of there. And it sucks because it's a waste of money. It's a waste of a day. But she, you know, she knows now that not just from that, but through everything, that your word is consequence. So lay down the rules. And I say all that to say this, lay down the rules, make sure that the consequences are followed through. And, you got it. It's a young unit. So you should be all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, beat them with the Metroplex.
Yes. Or beat them with the Metroplex. That is, that is your second option. Shout out to Comic Book Dork. Earlier this week, we got like 17 new likes on our Facebook page. And I'm like texting in our chat. I'm like, who the fuck is sharing our page? Cause it's working. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. We couldn't figure out what was going on. We couldn't figure out where people were hitting it from. And then we got a message from this guy. He was like, hey, you know, thanks. I love your show. You know, you keep me entertained, blah, blah, blah. I invited a lot of people on my friends list to the show. So thank you.
So nice. What I infer from this is that we have such low self-esteem that the minute we get a couple of likes, we all fucking hit, like, the network. Yeah. Fucking Justin sending out voice better. Fucking Antoine's tapping on railroad tracks. Like, Matt's sending out smoke signals. We're like, how the fuck? What?
What's going on? Exactly. What the fuck?
Exactly.
You know, I'm at work. My phone starts blowing up, and I thought somebody died. And then it's like, Bobby's like, do you know what? We have 12 new likes.
Yeah. Because usually when
is
stuff
there
like
a punchline to this? Is this a joke? Should I know the answer?
Usually when stuff like this happens, it's because Greg has found some new group. You know, like it's some reason like that. So when he didn't know, I was really at a loss. But thank you. So he asked a few questions. And if anybody has any answer for this one, if you could create any Transformer – not in the known Transformer universe, what would the name be, alt mode, and demeanor? Does anybody want to take that one?
I don't know.
I think we can all pretty much agree that it would be Shitstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be a brown seeker.
And he would be extremely sarcastic to the point that you don't know if he's telling the truth or, you know, trolling you.
So yeah,
and he'd be a smart guy, you know.
Yeah.
He'd have a deep voice. What else?
Crack ratchets into the microphone. And can't
yes.
see that.
He could do impressions.
Would Sorry, poo my, come out of his, hey, would poo come out of his weapons? Or is it?
Yes.
Nice.
And but at the same time, for all of his, you know, for all of his like bravado, he would also be very anxious. And, you know, we get kind of like the equivalent of an upset stomach, like pretty soon.
And he'd always be on time, too, like 15, 20 minutes early.
If you agree
sit in the parking lot.
Transformers TV show, Would it be live action, animated like G1, or using computer action like Prime?
It would be animated.
Yep.
And it would be IDW.
I concur.
Yep.
And who would the characters be? It would be the core characters on the Lost Light.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. No, man, it'd be Michael Bay, everything he did. Fuck all y'all.
What? Excuse me?
I'm out, bitches.
Drop the mic.
Michael Bay.
It would be 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, of Michael Bay getting kicked in the ass by the core cast of The Lost Light.
Yeah. Man, fuck you. Michael Bay is the reason why you are around.
I think
that most of us would love to see a More Than Meets the Eye, like, show. I mean, like, it would never happen, right? But, like, that's kind of the best thing. It's probably the best fiction ever in Transformers. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Probably. It's at the very least the most consistent, so.
Yeah.
It might happen. Who knows?
Yeah. So that's what it would be, an animated show based on
what it was. Maybe we should start a petition.
Oh, God, yes. Damn it, Antoine. I was yelling at mute the whole fucking time. Maybe somebody should start a petition or something.
We got news on that next week. We got news on a petition next week. We're going to get into that next week. Cable 75. Shout out to Cable 75. He's cool, dude. How would you feel if fans Project Dinobots all have ball-jointed hips? I guess this is directed towards me because I'm pretty critical of that. Will you feel as though they have lowered their standards? Because they have always had ball-jointed hips, I think, for the most part, fans Project stuff. I wouldn't feel as though they have lowered their standards, but I would start to worry that they were not keeping up. And that's how I feel about it. And I think that those toys are too big and too heavy to have ball-jointed hips. And that's that. Without me going on a rant about it, because I get really upset. I'm sitting here looking at this sludge, and I'm thinking about canceling my slag every time I think about it. But that's all I'm going to say, is that I think that if they don't get with the fucking program – they could fall out of that top tier position with these sorts of heavy toys sitting on those fucking ball joints.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts, Justin?
I don't really mind. I mean, ball joints work. I think ratchets and stuff are definitely better, but I mean, they still have their purpose and generally they still work. So I'm not too broken up.
I'm surprised all the figures are not using the universal ball joints. All of them.
Or just the universal joints? Yeah, well, well, here's the thing with that. Like, universal joints can kind of suffer the same problems. Like, that's what worries me about Troll, is that he has universal joints for the hips, but they don't look ratchet.
Yeah, dude.
And I think they're universal joints for the hips. I could be wrong about that. But I think they're universal joints for the hips, but they're not ratcheted. Like, just like their Psy-Kill.
Jetfire?
Yeah, not like Jetfire.
Universal
tips. Right. Yeah, I'm not saying that Jetfire is a bad toy.
I'm just throwing Matt a bone. This is just the episode where I throw Matt a bone. That's all.
Oh, well, thanks, Greg. Yeah.
That way, in 2 weeks, he can throw Matt a boner. Just, you know.
Hey. You'll be there too, Justin.
It's called foreplay.
Orgy time.
I do think that, and I also think that, like, if you look at most third-party companies are headed for that Voyager scale because it kind of works with Masterpiece, it kind of works with Classics, so they can kind of double dip, which is smart. And Fans Project is, like, their Dinobots are in that scale, but nothing really else, and that's another thing that kind of worries me about the Make Toys Fans Project line, is that unless they kind of continuously go left field and trying to carve out their own thing, I do think that they need to kind of rejuvenate themselves a little bit. They still make great product, don't get me wrong.
Did you say Fans Toys or Fans Project?
Fans Project, yeah.
Okay, I got an email, so it cut my audio out there. Now let me ask you, if you were to drop Fans Project, goddamn, if you were to drop them, like if they dropped a tier, would you give them the count? Would you count to three, or would you just drop them?
I would just drop them, because they're not going to respond to my consequences. So it'd be more.
Would you turn your collection around and take it back to Hasbro?
Yeah, no, no, no. I would take it. I would take it somewhere else, but not to Hasbro.
Sorry, Matt.
I'm just gonna believe I didn't hear that. I'm just gonna ignore that shit.
But I do think that you know, there's a lot of companies making a lot of strides, and I don't necessarily feel like Fans Project is making big strides anymore. You know, and the thing is just because you're on top of your game today, it doesn't mean that you can't falter tomorrow. You know, you got to.
You think they're too confident?
I think maybe they are a little too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, but yeah, confident too, like a little complacent.
You say that, but I look at fucking. I look at that mind wipe.
Nice.
And I'm like, yeah, you got a reason. But I didn't see. I didn't buy the Dinobot. That's the one thing I didn't buy.
Right.
Was that Dinobot? So I don't know. I think I'm the only one that didn't get that. Right. Everybody else got it. The rest of you guys all got it.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, maybe Fan Project should just stick to, you know, maybe deluxe figures. That's where their, you know, their smaller stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, but I'm worrying if that deluxe scale isn't. You know, dying of give it, you know, taking a slow death. I'm saying it's a slow one, but it does seem like that deluxe size is being phased out amongst the third.
Parties. I would be okay if they phased it out, but only if they keep the same standards.
Right, I would too.
I mean, if they had made their code series or their Function X series, rather, excuse me. In the same scale that Toy World made their Headmasters? Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Easy bar.
On the shelf.
Easy bar. Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I like the cheaper prices.
They're not that much cheaper, though. That's the thing. They're like $10 cheaper.
The other ones, like the code in them, were like $60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm tired of paying $100 for Voyagers and shit.
Yeah, Toy World was $100. You know, so they were talking about a $40 difference. Now, Mind Wipe is more expensive, but Mind Wipe's also bigger.
He wasn't any more expensive. Well, when I go back and look at TF Source might have changed their pricing. Excuse me. I got winded because I stuck because I'm a fat guy. But I went back and looked, and, like, the prices are consistent now. So I don't know if they adjusted their prices or if we're just, like, imagining the prices higher.
Do y'all think third parties? Do you think the price is going to go up, or are they ever going to go down? Are they just going to keep going up?
I don't see them going down. You know, I don't. I personally don't. I don't know why they would. You know,
maybe they'll go sideways, and then we'll start getting extra stuff. No, it wasn't a joke.
Maybe they'll
go sideways, and we'll start getting, like, it was a joke to begin with, but then I had an idea. Maybe we'll start getting, like, extra stuff, like. I mean, shit, look at Soar. We're getting fucking an extra beak. We're getting extra wings, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll start getting a little bit more for our money.
I hope so, because that shit's getting expensive.
It is.
Yeah, it just sucks choir. When all that shit comes out at once. Like, my pockets have been taking an ass whipping, like, over the past couple month.
Yeah, definitely. October is pretty bad. Yeah, I think my pre-orders added up to almost $600-$700.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, every time I get money, like in my little private little toy stash, like, I feel like I'm like, fuck, I'm down to like $60 again. I gotta reload.
Ridiculous right now.
My stash is my TFCon stash, and like all the choices I made back in March. Are starting to affect the choices I'm going to make in 2 weeks.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, because it was all supposed to come out that, you know, March, July, you know, April and all that stuff, but now they've been pushed back.
I'm going to TFCon with a suitcase full of fucking ramen.
Yeah.
Walking fast ice.
So, yeah, I think that it's more than just the ball joint and hips in terms of Fans Project, but I think that, like, the fact that Mind Wipe is significantly bigger than Weird Wolf is kind of cluing me into the fact that they might be aware of, you know, kind of the going trend, which is to double dip. You know, classics collectors get those Voyager figures. Masterpiece collectors get those Voyager figures because they kind of work.
Well, do you think Ape Face and, you know, the other ones are making, you think they'll be a little bigger?
I would imagine that Mind Wipe is going. I would imagine that Mind Wipe is going to be the new standard, at least for their headmaster size.
Well, fuck and, that ape face and shit. I mean, there's a triple changers too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't even be mad if those weren't bigger, just because of like the level of like. I mean, because the fans project, they fucking turn everything into a chore.
Right.
The simplest thing, like. Hard. So imagine how complex A-Face is going to be.
Right. So with that, let's go ahead and knock these shout-outs out. Shout-out to
Fear. That was it, really?
Yeah. I mean, that was a fair amount. It was probably the most questions we've ever had on any show. Thank you. Thank you to everyone that asked us questions.
Yeah. Shout-out, man. Bring on more. We like answering questions.
Definitely appreciate it, and it sparks some good conversation, especially like the growing trend of where third party is headed. Like, I think that's an interesting topic. I think we could actually get more into that on a future show. Shout out to Fear Corpse, who takes care of us on Twitter, and I mean he holds us down out there. Like, we could probably tweet out that, you know, we're gonna have another show coming in a month, and he'd retweet it and favorite like the moment it hit, you know. So like, he's a good dude, and I can't wait to meet him.
But dude, get a job. Seriously, like, get a girl, get a job, something.
Yeah, we can't be what you need us to be for you. But he's a good dude. He's awesome. Shout out to the Chosen Prime, and shout out to Kuma Style for his pictorial and video reviews. You can find him at KumaStyleDesigns.com and the Chosen Prime at thechosenprime.com. DokeToys.com for all your third party and first party needs. I am Ratchet for all your G1 needs, and I'm still got my fingers crossed that he's going to make it to TFCon. He is a stand up guy.
He's going to be there.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. No, he's there. He's totally going to be there.
Oh, okay.
He's been staying in the hotel. And yeah, he was. No, he wasn't up in the air. He was being sarcastic.
Gotcha. Awesome. Shout out to you and John over there at Third Party and TF Crashers. They're awfully good to us, and we try to be good to them as well.
Can I throw one thing out to add to that? I said, you're going to be at the hotel, right? And his exact response quoted was whiskey and whores. So
nice.
Yeah, so that's I am Ratchet.
Party in Morgan's room.
Party in Morgan's room.
And TF Prototype as well .com. Also, I want to give a shout out specifically to Decepticon Click on Instagram. They've been showing us a lot of love here recently, and there's a good group of guys, and mostly American based, so which is cool, and a lot of East Coast guys. So maybe we should fucking link up a fucking Mac. And as always, shout out to Oscar. We cannot wait to have you back. Marcus actually reached out to us today with a hashtag that said bring back Oscar, which I can assure you it's not us keeping him fucking tied up in the basement somewhere. We want him back as bad as you do. It's just him getting
himself. Can I give a shout out?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to everybody on my from a chat page. Shout out to everybody on Plastic Crack also.
Yeah, and also the Cybertron Cafe.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody who's been playing along with the Auction Cafe.
That's a new little
quote unquote unit, and we're trying to get some more people involved in that.
Shout out to Hands of Steel.
You can hit us up. We will point you in that direction to the auction page as well. It's pretty cool, and I've seen some stuff move on there that wouldn't necessarily.
Shout out to Michael Jackson.
Not for nothing. Thriller is a game changer.
I gotta say something. Oh, I wanna give us some feedback too about the show, you know, that we did tonight. You know, if you wanna do some more, you know, in the future. Hopefully we're gonna do more, you know, all G1, you know, and all that stuff. Just, you know, give us some feedback if you like that, you know, in the show and everything.
Absolutely. One more thing.
Yeah.
Big ups to Tupac.
Shout out to HOS, Hands of Steel. What's up, dog? That's it.
All right. And with that being said, you can look for us on all of the normal ventures on the interwebs. You can find us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/ShatterCastUncut, Podomatic at podomatic.com/ShatterCastUncut, Facebook at facebook.com/ShatterCast, Twitter at @SHATTERD. You thought I was going to fuck up. You can find us on Tumblr. We need a new review from Deluxe here shortly on shattercast.tumblr.com, blogspot, shattercastuncut.blogspot.com, or you can email us at shattercastonline@gmail.com. And you can contact us on any of those venues to get a t-shirt, hoodie, magnet, sticker, or whatever, and we want all that fridge. So with that being said, take care of yourselves and each other. For Primus's sake, please respect please respect collectively. Please collect responsibly. And Antoine,
you've been shattered. You motherfucker. No, I'm kidding. You've been shattered.